Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Well, the Bucs get it done in San Francisco. First time since 1980. They go out there and shut them out. And, here to join me today, a member of the defensive line. Big day on the West Coast. Styles G with a sack and a half.
Yes, sir. It's still pending.
Still pending?
Still pending.
To get one and a half taken away or added, added on to?
To add on. We're still pending.
No, which one is that? Who's that between you and?
Me, either me and Mike Bennett or me and Jared McCoy. But we're going to keep it in the room either way. So whichever way it goes, it's still going to be in the D-line room.
So you have two of them out there that you're working on.
Yeah, well, one and a half, half of one I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
But I like the effort.
The effort was good. Yeah, hey, like listen, when you're arguing about those things on a Monday, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, you know, field conditions before the game, we're up in a box and all the overthrown balls were literally splashing water out of the turf. How was it?
It was fine. I think they did a great job of, I seen them raking water off the field or whatever,
right.
Pushing water off the field. But when I got on it, it was fine. I did a little slipping. But
what was the difference this week? We've seen some improvement. A couple weeks ago on the air, you know, I noticed and made comment that Gerald McCoy was in the backfield for two or three plays in a row. We see him come on a little bit last week. But as a group, you guys, it was like somebody turned on a light switch.
Well, I just think that our young guys, I think they understand how good they really can be and knowing that they can play on this level. You know, I'm sure they doubted themselves as much as I have when I first got here, and it just got better. So I think that's what's going on. I think they finally starting to realize that they can play on a high level, consistent. Now it's got to work about being consistent.
So then how do you build on that now?
We go back, watch film. We continue to get better condition, and we got a better challenge with the Ravens. So that's what's up next.
Well, you guys went out there, and the big thing was, I think it was obvious to everybody that they were going to try to use a steady diet of gore between the tackles. It's somewhere when you watch film on these guys, they do a pretty good job. And Troy Smith outside the pocket using play actions, things like that. I mean, you guys came out. Cody Green came flying up on the first run of the game, and he wound up leading the team in tackles for the day. But you guys set the tempo. Is that something that you knew they were going to do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, given, you know, our run defense and all, and I mean we're not a fool. We watch TV.
So what are you trying to say?
we hear the media and how we not the best in 31st or whatever rushing, and that's fine. And they're supposed to try to run the ball. You know what I mean? And, you know, Cody came up and he was making some big boy tackles out there with Frank Gore. Frank Gore's a really good running back.
Yeah, he stood him right up. He knocked him back a couple times.
Yeah, he's Cody, I mean, he's coming on.
You know, a few weeks back when they suspended Dexter Jackson, everybody was or Tanar Jackson. Yeah. Dexter was on our plane. That's what he's on my mind. But Tanar Jackson, everybody's a little bit nervous. You know, you're bringing in a young guy. But from your opinion, what kind of job has he done?
I think he's doing a great job. I mess with him. I pretty much say to him every week, I give him one of these, I'm watching you. You know what I mean? Pointing my eyes, looking at him. He's pointing back like, I'm watching you. So, I mean, he's becoming a real guy. I think he's becoming more confident and more comfortable in the position, and he's making plays.
Well, he does a great job of making tackles in the open field. He doesn't come up out of control. He comes up, he's where he's supposed to be, and he appears, you know, to have great football sense. He looks like he's about 12.
He does. I walked right past him. I didn't know who he was. But, no, he plays big, though.
Yeah, he does a really good job. And how does the run game affect you as an end when it comes to rushing the passer? Does your game change when you're able to stop the run? Or how are you affected by the run game in general?
Well, I mean, we stop the run, the more they pass. The more I get the pass rush. I mean, you know, the formula is just that simple.
Is that by down and distance? Or?
Well, it really all depends.
Because in second and long, you see it's probably 50-50.
Right. You get a screen depending on what type of team you're playing or a draw. But most of the time, second and long, they want to get at least half those yards back. So maybe a pass play. You know what I mean? I lean to a 60-40 giving, you know. situation at all.
Now, do you guess when you get in your stance, like, I think they're going to pass, I'm going to come out of here flying and go pass rush first, then play to run?
No comment. No, I tell you. I try to cheat and read the tackle, see if he maybe leaning a little less, a little more. Right, you know what I mean?
His knuckles aren't white.
Well, they got on gloves, so. But these days, these tackles are so athletic, they just stay the two-point stand to pass or run. So, man, you just kind of try to, you know, I mean, once you – The whole thing of getting off the ball and being disruptive, it plays on run and pass. So long as you're being exposed to getting off the ball, it helps you run and pass.
Well, if you get through your gap, you're doing your responsibility. So if you do get up the field a little bit, do you not disrupt the run blocking as well?
Well, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So as long as we get
off. So those first couple steps, you're
trying to get off.
Right.
Well, you know, our D-line saying is get off the ball so you can get off the field. So we get off to get off. That's how we roll.
I like it. Very good. All right, we got Styles G. White. If you guys want to join us on the phones tonight, ask questions. You are a big social media guy, right? Well, your Twitter buddies and Facebook buddies, or Facebook, yeah, give us a call. Well, Hillsboro, phone numbers, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. You've been around now for a few years, and we'll get into your story. You got a great story. I had the chance to interview a while back, and
thank you.
You're a Jersey guy. You're a good guy.
You're Jersey too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Morristown?
Yep. I went to Roxbury.
Oh, we beat Roxbury.
Yeah.
High school ball beat Roxbury.
Beat us in basketball, too. You guys were hanging from the rim the entire game. It's not fair. Anyway, you know, this team is young, and you've been around long enough. You know, some teams have it, and other teams don't. And I've been in a locker room where, you know, there's not a lot of guys that do talking and hooting and hollering, but there's something about this team. And you guys have been down in so many games and, you know, all over the place, and you expect that out of a young team, but they have a lot of maturity. What is it about this team that's special?
I believe that I don't think our team get it. Like, they're young. I think they're ignorant. Like, they don't understand. Like, they don't get when we're down.
Like no one gets to lose.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They don't get on that. We're down by a lot. They don't care. Like, we don't. Like,
if naive?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we, like, you see it. Like, you're like, okay, we're down. Everybody's just cool. Like, all right, well, you know, we got to score now. You know what I mean? It's not a, you know, if we up.
State of panic.
Right. And if we up, we're like, well, we got to score again. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's not, you know, like these three losses we had. When we took some, we took a couple on the chin, we still was like, hey, you know what? We got next week. And we're going to play next week. Okay, well, day one, great. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, me personally, like, the only game I felt like we were, you know, more or less, I mean, the Pittsburgh game, you know how that game went. And then the New Orleans game, I was like, hey, you know, it was fourth quarter. If the time didn't run out, we was mounting a comeback. I mean, it was like 33-7, but we were saying, if it didn't run out of time, we might have still came back and won that game. But that's just the type of ignorance we have around there. You know what I mean? Like, we don't care what the situation is. We're going to keep the same tempo, the same attitude.
Well, it's funny. You know, I get on a plane and when you win and you lose, it's kind of the same. Like, teams that aren't used to winning or don't really expect to win, they win a big game, you have a long plane ride, they're all giddy and out of control. But you get on a plane and everybody's like, all right, well, you know, we just got to come back, watch film tomorrow and get ready for next week. Is that how they are all the time?
Yeah, I mean, we have our charismatic guys like Akeev and Cadillac, and it was a little more fun than others.
Well, they're further back in the plane, yeah, which is a good spot.
they get a little creative back there, playing around. But yeah, they pretty much we all got the same voice for the most part. We understand, you know, most of the team is pretty toned down anyway, so it just kind of carries over. It's like, you know, say the extension of Ra. That's how Ra is. Ra's right. Like kind of even killer and whatnot when he talks to us, or how he handles, like, you know, our family business. If something goes on, we go on to the next. That's how we roll. We go on to the next.
Right. How was he before the games? You know, different coaches. Some guys are straight philosophical guys. All right, guys, you know, we're here. It's a big game today. We got a X, Y, Z. Some guys hoot and holler and foam at the mouth to try to get him fired up. Right. I mean, you know exactly right. What I'm talking about.
No, absolutely.
How was he?
He should have a reality show. All his thing is reality. This is the reality of things. It's, you play this well, you play 60 minutes, you play hard, you play consistent, you play fast, plays the team, you're going to win. You know, and that's been our focal point. That's all it's been. It's just him telling us, he always ends with that. You know, like the race to 10 is embedded in us. This is what we want to do. You know, you got guys, we got guys that we won yesterday. He's like, 10, we want more than 10. Let's get more than 10. So Rob said, we got what? What? Let's get 8 first. So he's like, we want 10. Like, what's
so he kind of plays with
10.
It?
Like, we want 10. We want more than 10. He's like, what? You know what? I can't hear you. We want more than 10. We're like, ah, let's just get 8 first. You know what I mean? Let's just go to the next one. And that's how he is. He's the reality. Yeah, we can win more than and maybe possibly win more than 10 games, but we got to do it one game at a time. So anytime we get a little bit, you know, beside ourselves, like, whoa, whoa, let's win 8 first. You know, let's win the next one.
Now, how is he in meetings? I mean, is he real, like, you know, Styles, you need to, you know, we heard him messing with you after the radio show a little right. bit, just kidding around. Right. But this, you know, when you get in a team meeting, some coaches are the old school, like, hey, listen, you know, you're getting your butt kicked here, you got to do this. Or does he kind of dance around a little bit like some other guys?
He got the best of both worlds. We get the best of both worlds.
But he'll throw it out there if he needs to.
Yeah, we got the best of both worlds. But what he does do is consistent is he holds us accountable. So, I mean, if stuff happens, he's on us. He's been on me. And, I mean, that's how it goes. He kind of, you know, depending on if you, you know, if you Rondé, then, you know, it's kind of, hey, you know, we'll go to the next one. Now, Styles, you know what I mean? But, you know.
But that's normal.
But it's expected, right, exactly. So it's not like a you know how it is when a guy in your seat and you're like, oh, a rookie come up and say to you, hey, you know, you got to move. Like, what? And right. then if a vet come up to you, you know, like when I was here, Derrick Brooks or Warwick Dunn or Jacob said, one of them come to you and say, hey, man, I want the seat. Okay. Right. You know, right. I just get up. Ain't no argument. Ain't right. no meme mugging. That's, you understand the hierarchy of the things. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
I agree. And that's normal.
Right.
Most of the veteran guys have been around long enough. You don't need to scream and yell. I mean, they know, right. like, listen, you got to do
different stroke for different folks. You know, one size don't fit all. So he gets a good job of it.
Yeah. I was always curious about that because he's so excitable on the sidelines.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He gets up and he's bumping. I didn't know if he was a screamer or a yeller.
No.
We've had some where before the games, you know, they're screaming so much you can't even understand what they're saying. Right. So, all right. Talk about Rondé. You know, he gets his 40th interception the other day, and he's still getting it done. The reason I bring that up is when you talk to defensive guys throughout my career, their most excitable moment is their opportunity to become a blocker because they spend their day taking on blockers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big headhunter? Or are you like, thank God we got the ball back, I need a rest?
No, I've been when you see, like,
I hated when they intercepted the ball. My head was on a swivel. I was waiting for somebody to take me out.
No, I mean, it was, you know, when I, you know, especially with Rondé. Rondé, you want to be a part of what Rondé, his history of what he has. Like, hey, I threw that block to spray him.
Right. You know what I mean? And his Hall of Fame induction. I was like, that block for him.
I had a part of that. You know what I mean? So, it's, you know, Keem, he's on his way, baby, to be a Hall of Fame. I helped him with that. I helped bridge that. You know what I mean? So, it's you know, it's fun to be around that guy.
Yeah, he's unbelievable at what he does. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to get to some callers when we get back. We'll have more with Styles G. White. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. Today, our guest, Styles G. White. We're going to get into where that name came from. I remember that from our last conversation. Before I do that, I'm going to give out the phone numbers one more time. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Our first caller to go on with Styles G. White is Christian in Wesley Chapel.
Hey, guys. Christian, first-time caller, long-time listener. And I'm not trying to talk bad about the Bucks last year, but compared to the Bucks this year, it's almost a completely different team. And I understand that Raheem was new last year. Your coaching staff wasn't exactly the greatest. But I'm just so confused about how good you guys are this season versus, not that you were bad last year, but you guys understand?
So what are you trying to say?
I understand that. I'm saying I love watching the Bucks games. I'm saying games like yesterday make me love football. But then again, games like the Steelers just made me kind of cry a little bit to myself.
What do you think?
I mean, from last year to this year, it's all about progression. We played a pretty good Pittsburgh Steelers team, and we lost to them, and none of us still don't feel like we still feel like we could have done better. But that game is in the past. So, like I said earlier in the show, we was on to the next. Okay, so we lost to Pittsburgh Steelers. The way I feel like you're saying is like you gave up on us, and we don't. We don't give up. We continuously keep going, and we just on to the next game. That's how we do it. Win, lose, or draw. We won against the 49ers. Now we're on to the Baltimore Ravens. That's our attitude. That's how we see things.
Yeah, every team has that. The NFL seasons are long, you know, and you play really well. And if I'm a betting guy, which I'm not, usually a team that comes off a real big win usually comes back and has a letdown next week. The seasons are so long, and physically and mentally, you have letdowns. So the year we went to the NFC Championship in 99, we went to Oakland late in the year, and it was like a track meet with Napoleon Kaufman. We lost 45-0 and wound up going, you know, within a few minutes of the Super Bowl in that year. But it happens. You know, last year there's a lot of things. You're changing systems. You went through two different systems of offense, two different systems of defense. You know, you bought in Jim Bates. You bought in Jim Bates, and then, you know, Raheem takes over. You had Jagosinski as the offense coordinator. Greg Olsen takes over. So, I mean, there's so much transition besides just a new head coach that, you know, it obviously snowballed a little bit. And then you got a lot of new blood in here with a deep draft and talented. And, you know, what can you say from your end about seeing some of these young guys come in and making the plays that they're making?
It's definitely
not the norm. Would you agree?
No, definitely. They built the confidence, and, you just, you know, you see it from what, you know, you got, like I said, you know, I work with Gerald McCoy, like, often, you know, and Roy Miller and all of them coming along, and you see how they're getting confident and how they playing and how they believe in themselves and when they do, and mainly because they got a choice. You need to go out there, you need the ball, because not only are the coaches counting on you, but as teammates, we're counting on them, you know, and I know he believes in himself. So, I mean, that's what all these younger guys understanding that. You know, even with Dakota's coming on real well now, and, you know, it wasn't because, you know, he was kind of shy till when he first came on, but, you know, Rod, like, get in there. If you're going to mess up, you mess up full speed, you know what I mean? And he's becoming more confident in his ability to play on this level.
And you're an older, do you help these young guys? Do you try to give them stuff? Because you're a guy that you've seen it all. I mean, you've worked your way through the ranks to get where you are. Is there things that you can give these guys to help them out?
Well, the only thing about that, they don't know about that. So as soon as they see me, who I am, and, you know, me being what Riley's called Allen Iverson, it's kind of hard to get them to understand where I come from. And, you know, and like I said before, understand one size don't fit all. What may work for me may not work for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And where I'm at, you're not here yet, you know, and you could be better than that, you know. And, you know, if they come to me with some type of advice, I mean, if they come to me with some questions, I give them some advice if needed. I try not to give unsolicited advice, but, you know, this is one of those things, man. I try to play my part as much as I can.
Well, football's definitely not an exact science. I mean, you see a lot of coaches with a lot of different styles, a lot of players. You know, you watch a lot of film to pick up what you can, but you certainly develop your own style. I mean, talk about some of these other guys like Michael Bennett that have gone in there, and
Michael Bennett,
Crowder that's going in on the other side playing well. I mean, what's making these guys improve now in a time when you need it to? Is that just work? Is it coaching? What is it?
It's all the above. You know, Wash on this 24/7. Well, he tried to be on the 24/7, but, you know, I don't answer him back when he texts me. But he's been on us a lot. You know, we've been on each other. We've been on ourselves. You know, we expect certain things and understand what each other's abilities are, and we try to work off of them. You know, the longer we work together, you know, the better we're going to be.
Now, practice wise, do you guys do 9-on-7 in pads every week? Are you guys more laid back with?
No, absolutely. We're in pads every week. Every week we're in pads and we banging and it's paying off. You know, excuse me, we go once a week, banging with pads on, but, I mean, when we go, you know, it's, hey, we're going to do a walkthrough. We practicing, believe it, we're practicing. And Wash, our D-line coaches, when we practice, he hates, first off, he hates walkthroughs. So,
right. So well, every coach does because they want to be able to teach technique, and the only time you can do that is full speed, right?
Right. So
according to them. Anyway.
According to them. So we go hard.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Ben and Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing?
Congratulations, Styles, on the shutout yesterday.
Appreciate you.
Beautiful. I love it. So I'm one of those hard fans, right, that is here through the thick and thin for since I was a kid. I was born and raised here. I'm 26 now. So I've been a Bucs fan forever, my whole life. And it really irritates me when we're doing something positive, playing very, very well, and then you hear the reports and the writers and all that say, well, they haven't played anybody, and, you know, the records, here's the combined records of all the teams that they've played. They're below 500, well below 500, the combination of them all. When you read that and when you hear that, because it makes me mad. It really irritates me and it really, really upsets me. What does it do for you and what does it do to that locker room? Just tell me what that does and how that motivates you, if at all. And be real with me, man. Tell me what it does.
Actually, contrary to popular belief, we are used to it because what our coaches is never good enough for us. So the media is out there saying the same thing that, hey, you know what? Y'all beating San Francisco 49ers or shutting out an NFL team is not good enough for us because whatever the reasons are, San Francisco 49ers are. You know what I mean? That's fine with us. I mean, our coaches, when we have a sack a game or two sacks a game, they want more. It's just constant. So we're not really bothered too much. I mean, I personally, it's a little irritable to me personally, but I mean, like I said, I endure it with my coaches, and whatever we do is never good enough. So, I mean, if the media wants to chime in and say what they need to say, that's fine. That's their opinion. But we still roll with it because all we're trying to get better.
Man, what when Atlanta comes in and you guys play Atlanta a couple weeks ago and their star receivers talking all that junk, and now you guys should have won that game. They come back here. How does that motivate you? Is that kind of the same, just gets on your skin a little bit? Or what do you guys do with the negativity coming from the other team saying the same thing as the media?
Well, I'll let you worry about the Atlanta Falcons in the next 2 weeks. I got the Ravens. You feel me? So that's what we on right now. So until that time come, all right, you can call back in if I'm on, then we'll go from there. But right now, I got the Baltimore Ravens. So that's what I'm focused on, baby.
Okay. Julie said, but I'll be there in the stands when we're going to beat Atlanta. I'm telling you right now.
Fair enough.
And Baltimore.
Thank you.
Well, make sure they're at 4:15. They moved that one to a later time. But that's to his point and yours as well. I mean, that's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, since you start playing sports in general, you're always going to have the so-called haters out there. Every time you do something good, they knock you down. In the NFL, even when you have a great year and your contract's up, the first thing they do at negotiation time is tell you what you don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
So even when things are going well, they still try to shoot you down. Yeah. So does that even affect you guys, media-wise?
No. Like I said, our coaches want more for us every week, and it's never good enough for them. So to hear it is just another thing for us. And that's outside stuff. And we don't let outside stuff creep in. So we deal with stuff eternally.
Very good. Back to the phones. We have Michael in Clearwater.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
Listen, good. A couple of callers ago, the one guy was saying, when you guys were at 3-13, and then now you got this better record. And Styles, you mentioned something that says, well, I don't understand what you're saying, but it sounds like you kind of gave up on us, and we never give up on ourselves. Listen, we own that. We did give up on you, and I think that's a very valid point. I think as fans, we see 3-13. We have a new coach. You know, we got all this turmoil going on. I think as fans, we can't say, oh, I've been with them the whole time. I stuck through them. I think the bottom line is, as fans, we need to say, you know, when you guys were 3-13, we didn't have a reason to believe, and you guys are proving us wrong, and I think we need to take our hats off to you guys.
I think we all appreciate that. It's one of those things, man. I mean, of course, if it was up to us, we'd have a 13-3 record. You know what I mean? And it's not like we going out there and last year, like, trying not to win. We try to win every week. You know what I mean? So, you know, we didn't give up on ourselves. Even when we were down and out, we still went out there and competed, tried to compete to our best of our ability. And at that point, it was a mountain up in wins. This year, it's getting better. So we're going to keep working to get better. Well, I appreciate your honesty.
Well, if you want to join Styles on the phone, phone numbers again in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS-2827. Oh, just do you watch when you're on the sideline, the offense, when they're out there making plays?
Yes, absolutely. To see Josh and Blunt and Cadillac and Mike and they keep going on, see Penn catching touchdowns.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. What did you think of that?
I know you've seen it in practice.
He has those big offensive line gloves. They're not receiver gloves. Receiver gloves are so sticky you can stick your ball hand out there
and I don't know if you checked out the flexibility, but he ain't that slim in the waist for him to bend down like that and catch the ball on the goal line. It was awesome. I thought it was a great catch. I thought it was a really great catch for him to make. I mean, it was good for him.
So what are you getting at?
No, I thought he was a great athlete. That's what I'm getting at. Let me tell you, I've seen a play when he came and knocked the stuffing out of one of them DBs on the screenplay. I mean, right. He'd just be killing them.
He can run. I mean, he doesn't have that athletic-looking body, is your point, right?
Right.
But he can get out there and run and move. He's got good feet.
He's a good athlete.
I had him good on a couple weeks ago, and, you know, were you here when he caught that pass that deflected off a defensive lineman?
Yeah.
And he ran for the first down. Yep. He got up. He gave the whole point for the first down. Yep. He talked about that forever.
Oh, yeah. And
so I was asking him at that point, you know, hey, have you talked to Greg Olsen and do they have any plays? He's like, yeah, we got this play. I'm coming in at tight end. I'm eligible. I think the design of it was perfect because they called a timeout because mm-hmm. you can't go from eligible as a starter to ineligible without either coming out of play or a timeout. Right. But when they put him back in, they put him at the tackle position and overloaded the line to the right. So he was the end man on the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So whoever lined up on him just looked like he was playing tackle unless he was paying attention to the ref calling him ineligible.
Right. He did a great job with the play action fake and getting open, you know. I mean, it was awesome. We found out that he was. And
did he come to the sideline talking?
He was tired, I think, from running around the whole thing when
doing
he scored.
The
victory lap when he scored.
So maybe he's going to get fined for throwing the ball in the stands.
Yeah, probably. But he got it. He got it. He'll be fine.
It's perfect. All right, back to the phones. We're going to go to Chris in St. Pete.
What's going on, Dave?
How are you?
What's up, Sal?
How you doing?
Not much. I first want to address, in my opinion, who you played yesterday. Well, we know it's the 49ers, but let's take the quarterback, Smith. Young, athletic, fast. Crabtree, young and athletic and fast. And so is Ted Ginn, and then one of the best running backs in the league, Frank Gore, who I happen to have on my fantasy team, and he got me crap yesterday. But
that you shouldn't have started him against your team.
Well, he's my number one pick, so you got to leave in your number one pick. But I was happy to see him shut down. But that's who you shut down, a young, athletic, fast team yesterday. And I hope people realize that ain't easy to do, to put up a big goose egg, but – Styles, I look at the offense and the defense in like gears on a car. You know, you got five gears. And over the past couple of weeks, the offense, man, with everything they're doing, they've stepped it up, man. I got them. I see them as being in about fourth gear right now, heading for fifth, which is going to be scary. And what you guys did yesterday, man, you just moved into third gear and heading up. Is that a fair assessment, and is it just a matter of just catching up? And when both of you are in fifth gear, man, look out. We're going to be, dominating. Thanks, James.
Right, with the gears. I don't really know how to answer that.
Well, I think his point was this, and we talk about it a lot on the radio. The object for the first half of the season is to keep yourself in the hunt. But you want to be shifting gears and playing your best football towards the end of the year. Right. And I think we've seen improvement every week. Do you feel like this team's going to continue to improve all the way through the end?
Absolutely. I believe in that wholeheartedly. Like I said, I've seen our guys coming along, and, you know, the offense speaks for itself. They playing really good football right now, and we're trying to give ourselves a chance. And whether we win by 100 or 1, it's a win. So, right. I mean, you know, it may not look as pretty as it did against the San Francisco 49ers. And most of our games that we won this year didn't.
Right.
But, I mean, what matters is the record. And we are 7-3 right now.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you say we're getting better, and that's what we strive for every week, to get better. And you know, like, it probably won't look as great as it did against the San Francisco 49ers. And let's be honest, we have a lot of good teams to play. We got the Baltimore Ravens coming up, and even still, we still have great buck ball when we play them. We still on to the next. You know what I mean? So as long as we're getting W's, okay, how are we gonna get it done?
Well, San Francisco was no slouch. We're watching those guys on film. Their defense was stout. They had a 3-4. They were built to stop the run. Mm-hmm. Bucks were able to run. Didn't make a lot of mistakes. Had the one, you know, hit Adam Hayward. He's fired up to be in there. He's trying to make a play, mm-hmm. you know. But for the most part, that was the most complete game that you guys have played in all aspects. Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't disagree with it. But there's always room for improvement.
But there's no question. And you're always going to have that. And I think if you don't think like that, you're not going to get any better.
Right. We don't want to be complacent.
Right. I agree. All right. With that note, we're going to go to break. We'll be back with Styles G. White after this break and take some more callers. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome back with Styles G. White. Styles over here tweeting and Facebooking. Do you spend a lot of time doing that stuff? You're lying if you tell me no.
I do some.
Yeah?
I Twitter some, you know.
Well, I got on today messing around a little bit. I saw you were throwing the notes out there about the bandwagon's full.
Yeah,
your Twitter, I've never actually done. I wasn't even sure how to read it once I got on there. Anyway, we're gonna go back to the phones. We have Doug in Sarasota. Hello, Doug.
Yeah, hey guys.
How are you? Did we lose him?
Doug?
I think we lost him. So back to that social media stuff. You have a website, right?
Yeah, I do.
And a name?
JustStyles.com.
And what is that designed to do?
It gives you updates on what I'm doing, what I'm up to, you know.
Besides the Facebook and the
it gives you colorful pictures. It lets you know some appearances that I'm going to be on, especially when I tell my web guy where I'm going to be. It'll probably help him out a lot, but I don't. So
I saw some T-shirts on there. Live dormant, die enormous.
Yeah.
What is that?
I have a logo. And it's a crown pawn, and on the front it says "Live Dormant with Just the Pawn," and on the back it says "You know, Die Normal with a Crown Pawn." It essentially means live dormant, you know, to live without actively growing. That's what dormant means. And to die enormous is essentially to leave a legacy, if you will. You know what I mean? So you can live dormant or die enormous. So you striving for something, you know, maybe living outside the box. There's nothing wrong with, you know, living that nice little normal life. Nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, I like to die enormous. I like to leave a legacy behind for my kids and whatnot. So that's where I believe
in. What inspired that?
I'm a big chess fan. I like to play chess, and I looked at different pieces that could kind of represent me, you know. And I figure, you know, being that a pawn is like the weakest piece on the board, and once you get to the end, you can change it to a knight, a queen, or a bishop, or rook. And I was like, you know,
that's pretty deep. Even for you.
Wow, even for me.
I tell you, usually when you ask questions, you have an idea what the answer is. I didn't expect that at all. Pretty impressed with that.
Well, thank you. So what I essentially did was put a crown on it. And what that means is your status changed, but you don't. So you always remember where you came from. Now, yeah, right. I mean, you're going to change given the situation, you know, but who you are won't.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, say that. When I was in the hood, you know, in Jersey, I was eating at Fleming's and Capital Grills and stuff like that. So I ain't no proper etiquette. So obviously I had to change to that. But I still know who I am. Right. That never changes. So
we have a great story. We got a couple callers. I'd like to be able to get into some of that. I mean, you're going to be one of them guys that's going to be on True Hollywood Stories someday.
I hope I wasn't good. I don't know what True Hollywood Stories
I think we got Doug back in Sarasota. Are you there?
Yeah, guys, sorry I lost you there a minute ago. You there, guys?
We're here.
All right.
Yeah, no, my aspect was, you know, everybody, you know, you talk about the team and how the team's doing, but as a player yourself, you know, you come into the year and, you know, what kind of personal goals did you set for yourself? I mean, you know, your defensive guys, I mean, they just want to sack everybody they can, and the receivers want to, you know, catch it and make the yards. So what kind of goals did you set, you know, coming into this season that you really wanted to do to set yourself apart?
Well, I tell you, make no mistake, I wanted double-digit sacks.
I think you threw out 15 at some point.
I was going there.
Oh, yeah.
I was going there, Dave. I was like, can I go there? I said, make no mistake about it, I was going double-digit to 15 sacks is what I was going to say to you.
Yeah, you're trying to play it down now.
I was coming out to it. I wasn't even going to fake moves with you.
Sorry
like
about that. Let him answer your question.
Well, yeah, so you're looking at what you did, you know, last season or before, and you're just trying to, you know, at least top that and put as much pain on everybody as you can.
Well, I'd rather shoot for the stars. Doug. Yeah. I want to shoot for the stars. The highest I ever had here with the Bucks is 8 sacks. And I felt like I'm fully capable of getting 15. And I'm still trying to get 15. Believe that. We have 6 games left. It don't matter to me. I still want 15. I'm still striving to get 15. Now, as it comes to the expense of us winning and me not getting 15, I'm okay with that, no question. Well, but
I think, you know, the defense on the Bucks has been one of the things that supported the, you know, the offense for all the years, and the defense is what makes as many, you know, touchdowns as the offensive ever does as far as the Bucks go. And man, you just go to it and you get them all you can.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yep, you have a good weekend coming up.
You too. Well, let's talk about the sacks. No.
Let's talk about it, Dave. I'm okay with that. You're from Jersey. That's right.
Well, no, my point is you can't yourself. You can make goals when you play quarterback or maybe linebacker, but the production in sacks is directly related to the other three guys you're rushing with. Am I wrong?
No, I mean –
because you as a defensive end, you can beat your guy up the field with speed, come around the end, and the quarterback steps up and – you need some help there. You're not going to be able to get to that guy all the time. Like, right. When I played, I'd like to catch touchdowns all the time.
Right.
Well, if they didn't throw me the ball, I wasn't going to catch a touchdown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you're absolutely right.
So, I'll give you a good example. This one of the sacks you had yesterday, there was McCoy was in the middle, and I think it was Roy Miller or somebody else. It might have been Bennett, and they were getting pushed from the inside. And Troy got back, and you beat your guy around the outside, and he couldn't step up. Because the middle was clogged.
Right.
Okay? You were able to get the sack.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, the same thing. You come around the end, the middle was open. He stepped up and he scrambled for a bunch of yards. Now, that directly affects the amount of sacks you have, does it not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it does. And with that, I don't want to make a lot of excuses for
you. No,
absolutely.
I agree. But I'm being real, not.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you never make an excuse for anything.
Right.
No excuses, no explanations.
Right, absolutely.
But that does affect how many and how productive you are.
It does. It really does. And, I mean, but they, you know, Roy and Tim and Gerald, they doing a good job.
And that's not my point.
Right. But, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, it takes four of us to become – and we did that yesterday. We got better yesterday.
Do you guys have to deal with guys chipping you often or not? Do you get one-on-ones a lot, or do you have that extra guy chipping you on the way out?
Well, it all depends. You could go from being chipped to the guard helping out. So, you know, the tackle, you know, he can jump out there because he knows inside is covered. So, you know, I got to try to make inside moves, outside moves. I mean, it's pretty much predicated on down the distance and, you know, if they got the center and stuff sliding to your side or not. Because sometimes that two-way go could turn a one-way go knowing that they slide into your side. And given what
slot means, what they're turning your way.
Slot into our side. So the guard, the tackle, the center
guard. So if you go inside, you're just going to run into the next guy.
Right, to the guard. So, I mean, you know, you want to try to beat them outside and. You know, you just got to beat them.
Do you work on new moves every year?
Yeah, I work on them. I steal people's moves. So, like, you know, working on new
watching
moves,
film?
No. Yeah, I see OC and them guys. Only one I really don't watch is Freeney because he's just ridiculous.
I mean, his he does it so fast, I don't even know if he thinks about it.
Yeah,
it's more of a reaction than a setup.
So,
right?
But, yeah, OC and them was a pretty good pass rusher. Who else I've watched Elvis from Denver, when he was pass rushing, he's a pretty good pass rusher. A lot of guys.
How much of it is hands? Is it more about foot speed? You're more of an undersized guy as far as you don't have those long arms.
You know, honestly, it's really predicated on how the tackle blocks you. I mean, if he's a puncher, if he's, you know, like like Penn does a great job of switching it up. So, you know what I mean? I go against him, and he's been really good, like obviously going against a really good tackle. And with Penn, and I, you know, sometimes I can use my hands, sometimes I can swipe his hands, depending on if they come in low or high. But, you know, he switches them up. So it depends on if he's a puncher or not. Sometimes they create your habit, so they want to switch it up. I know that ultimately, when it's all said and done, they're going to go back to punching. And with that, I can work a spin move. I can slap the hands down, give them side scissors or whatever, or dip under it. Watching film.
It's a lot to think about. Do you decide before, okay, on this rush, I'm going to try this move?
Sometimes I get lost in the game. I get lost in the game. I'm like, I just want to beat him around the head. And he just pushed me around the pocket, and I kind of lose some of my technique because I'm not really homed in or focused in because I'm just trying to get there and stuff like that. But, yeah, it goes – you got to study your guys to see
what
you're
doing. Is that what it is? It's all done through film study?
Yeah. You got to get some film study in there and check it out.
So the guys in the division, you get to see more. Does that play to be an advantage? Because you can kind of remember how he played you a little bit last time?
Yeah, but he remembers you. So it can go 50-50 either way. You know what I mean? But it's good to go against guys that kind of know what you're doing. But you look forward to going against the same guys, you know, twice a year because – you know, they know what you're doing, you know what they're doing, so it's kind of like a man-on-man thing. Like, yeah, I'm going to beat you. You already know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It's fun, though.
I spent a lot of time chipping Reggie White. He only had two moves. He'd just either beat you around the outside,
hump, right?
Or as soon as you got light, he would toss some of them big ass.
Yeah, he was a different animal, though.
Yeah, I don't know how much film study he had to do. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Mike in Seminole. You're on with Styles.
Hey, Styles. How you doing?
All right, how you?
Hey, I got a two-part question, and I'll hang up and listen. I know you're still young in your career, but now you are the veteran on that D-line. How is everybody gelling with you? How is everybody gelling together? You guys look like you're having a good time out there, and that's a good thing to see everybody having a great time. The second part of my question is a little bit towards Dave, but I'd love to have you chime in too. I was a coach in high school for 20 years. I've left that. But that long snapper position or any other specialized position, there are so many kids that could actually make it through college that could get their education by doing that if they have a little bit of encouragement to do that specialized stuff. I'd like to hear a little bit from both of you on both of these. Thank you.
All right, you first. Okay. You're the veteran of the group, the old man.
Yeah, you know, like I said before, the great thing about it, we are elite because I'm very immature. So it doesn't, so we kind of all gel together. They immature, I'm an older immature, so it works out well for all of us. And we try to I try to mess with them all the time. You know, Wash is like Wash is our D-line coach.
He might be more immature than all you guys.
No, he's pretty serious about our practice. He's very business-like when it goes to our practice that he should be. But I try to get the guys and like, hey man, let's have some fun. You know, I understand what I'm saying, but let's have some fun. You know what I mean? Watch like, Styles, you like, oh my bad. Let's have some fun. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm not making some fun. So I mean,
you have to do that. The season's so long, you become insane if you don't
you have
somebody like that.
Yeah, I have to break the monotony up, so that's good.
All right. From the long snapper standpoint, you know, I never snapped in high school. I never snapped in college. When I was coming out at the University of Pittsburgh, Paul Hackett was the head coach. He was later the offense coordinator here. Okay. And he pulled me aside one day and said, hey, listen, you know, you can make yourself more valuable. You have the body type to be a snapper. Can you throw a ball? I was like, yeah, I can throw a ball. So I started working on it, and I didn't actually snap full-time in the NFL until my 13th year. I played tight end for 12, and I got three more years out of it. But, yes, there are guys to get scholarships to go to college. But it's a hard thing to teach. Either you kind of can do it or you can't. Have you ever tried to do it?
I have, and I'm one of those can'ts. I can't do it.
You seem pretty athletic to me, though. I mean, were you like a basketball player in high school?
No, I wrestled.
Oh, you were a wrestler.
Yeah, I wrestled. Basketball was a lot of running. No. You couldn't do it. Wrestling was more my thing. I'm more of a physical guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Were you a good wrestler in high school?
Yeah, I was pretty good, man.
Why do you look at me like, you know,
I was an athlete. I was an athlete.
Well, usually the non-athletes are the wrestler guys because they don't have to really do anything coordinated.
Hey, man, I was pretty tight at wrestling now.
Yeah.
You know, I did pretty well. I think I placed in, like, the county, second in the county and whatnot, or third. It gets cloudy. Yeah. It was good.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Ed in Zephyr Hills.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, quick comment and a question. Maybe that guy who had Frank Gore on his fantasy team ought to have the Bucs defense on their team like I do. You guys put me over the top yesterday. It was awesome.
Thank you.
But anyway, my quick question is, when Mr. White, you might play a little offense so you can get you a touchdown like 99 did several years back, and then you can talk some smack to Mr. Penn.
Yeah, you know, I've tried to campaign for that, like I've campaigned for other things like running fever with Coach Morris, but it ain't flying. It ain't flying. Nobody ain't trying to hear me. I'm kind of, you know, just talking. No one listens. It's one of those things I have, I guess. But no, I've tried to campaign a little bit, and then they told me that I had to block if I was to go play offense too. And I was like, cut me out. I just
goal line like 99. You remember that game about 5 years ago? 99. Yeah, he didn't block nobody. He just knocked him over and caught the ball for a touchdown.
That's it.
Well, every defensive guy wants to catch a pass.
Absolutely.
They certainly think they can if they can't. But
I'm pretty athletic.
We're going to have to test that one day. We'll have to go check it out.
You know, I did my little gymnastic stuff, too, now, so stop it. I'm pretty
can
decent.
Can you do backflip?
Yeah.
Do you like handsprings, do that kind of stuff?
I'm an athlete. I told you that.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's athletes I can't – can you do, like, a standing back?
Yes.
We may have to have you do this in this room before
hey,
we leave.
Hey, you get on my Facebook, and I got film on it from this year.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
In the gym.
There you go. Back to the Facebook there. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm just saying. I'll let everybody on my Facebook, though, believe me. I'll let you in, though.
Oh, yeah? Would you be my friend if I had a Facebook?
Absolutely. I would be your friend.
I'm going to have to test that.
What
you seem like the entrepreneur type. I mean, are you heading in direction with all this? You have the website, the social media stuff. And you're a guy that enjoys the media. You enjoy talking to the media. You actually mess with the media. You drive poor TJ crazy sometimes because he'll ask this nice, perfect, laid-up question. And you'll be like, yeah. And not that you can't answer it or don't want to, but you just do it just to be you.
Yeah, of course. I have to be. All I got is me.
What do you want to do when you're done playing?
Man, you know what? I was considering being a police officer when I'm done playing. Can I still do that when I'm done? That'd be like 30,
sure.
30, 34. I don't know. Remember the Best Damn Talk Show? Is that what it's called? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that stuff. I like the... I like to think I have a face for TV, so I don't know. But I do radio. But I'll do one of those laid-back shows, like, you know, we doing and stuff. We relaxing, hanging out, just right. Kind of shooting the breeze and whatnot.
I picture you having your own reality TV show.
Well, doing what? Everybody's done already. It's been done already. What can I do? Chad already got all that locked down, and Terrell got all of that stuff. I need something a little more innovative.
Are you a charity guy? Do you do
yeah,
a lot of stuff
I am.
For charities?
Yeah, I do.
You know, I know you have a ticket program. But
yeah.
Did you change names? You have two of them or what?
No. I have.
You have White's Warriors. Is that old now?
That's old.
Oh, okay.
So I got Style Shining Stars. I do that, the ticket program. I also have my foundation, the Better Us Foundation. I'm also on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club. So I do that.
What is your foundation?
The Better Us Foundation is child development and reading. Try to get some stuff going and reading, you know, try to take some kids out, buy books for schools and stuff like that. Right now, you know, it's been a year or so we're trying to, you know, make it known and better. And the Boys and Girls Club, they've been helping me out a lot. And, you know, I do the Children's Home off of Memorial and stuff like that. And, I mean, I'm down for pretty much whatever, you know, and I try to be in the community as much as I can.
Yeah, we heard Raheem Morris talking about that before the game or in the show earlier. Yeah, that's a big part of it. So many of these kids, it's just like the guy calling about the long snapping thing. I mean, it's, all these kids are looking for good role models. The media, unfortunately, does nothing but look at this. He's giving me, I'm not the role model type. But, yeah, I mean, really the only things they get to see these days are the negatives, and it's too bad.
I just have an issue with the role model thing. It's like you can't be human if you're a role model, and I beg to differ.
Yeah, but the problem is, whether you want to be or not, they're watching you.
Right, absolutely.
That's why you got to be careful what you're doing. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Chad in St. Pete.
Hey, is this Mr. Styles G. White?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want you to know something. That Styles G. White, and the G stands for good. God, and Miss Molly. Boy, y'all went out there and snatched all the gold out of the people's pocket. You went and pickpocketed the museum. And look at him. You even got the federal wallets out there. Mad at everybody out there. And now Governor Schwarzenegger,
Can you translate that for me? Is that one of your Twitter buddies?
I don't think so. I have no idea.
That's right. You don't talk to him, do you?
I talk about Twitter. I respond back on my Twitter.
Oh, I mean, you don't actually see him face to face and talk to him. Right?
The gentleman that was just on? Yeah, I have no idea.
No, you don't know that. You didn't recognize the voice. It's not like you wouldn't.
No, right. So yeah, I don't think I've had the pleasure of meeting the gentleman.
All right. Well, we have a TJ on the phone from Tampa.
I don't know how I followed that up. I'm not even sure what that was. The only thing I have to say is I get back in my car. I've been out of the car for about 20 minutes. I get back in my car, and did I just hear Dave Moore encourage you to not give me answers when I'm coming to you after a game, saying I like it when you do that? What? 83, forget this, Styles. I'm not talking to you. 83, what are you doing to me encouraging him to not give me answers out of the game? Give me a break. What kind of teamwork is that, 83?
Nobody's better at your job than you are. He goes in there, win, lose. He has the toughest jobs. He does a great job. And listening to the radio show, he's as smooth. I tell Jeff all the time, he's smooth. No matter what answer he gets.
You. My man Styles is a quote machine, and you're encouraging him, saying, I like it when you give TJ the one-word answer.
Well, we sit up in a press box at the home game and listen, because I go back on with Ledge after the game, or after the interviews are over, and he said, yeah, you did a great job with this and that, and he was like teeing you up to talk about it. And you're like, thanks. And that was it. We were dying in the box. Teacher, like, come on, you got to give me more than that.
But the thing is, you've just heard from Styles again for an hour. I know you've had him on, and I've had him on the Total Access show back in the day years ago. And he's a great talker, but you're encouraging him to not talk. That's not, I mean, Styles,
no, not.
Come on,
I was
baby,
just,
we want to hear from you.
I was just throwing out that he's got like that little jersey chip on his shoulder, and he just, you know, he does it just to mess with guys.
Well, and he grabbed my arm last week when I went to talk to McCoy. He's like, you're not going to talk to me now because we won? I have much love for you. I would talk to both of you. I did talk to both of you.
You did.
Well, you're a guy that we like to talk to when we lose because you
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, you. It's okay. I forgive you, TJ. You're my man.
Styles, I got much love for you. Don't listen to Dave Moore about giving me the one-word answers. You're making my life difficult.
All right, Teej. I love you, buddy.
You guys have a great night. And whatever Todd Wash was saying and whatever you all went out there and did, go do it six more times, boys.
I like it. Right. We got to go to break. We'll be back again and finish up with Styles G. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Okay, we're finishing up with Styles G. Styles, before we get to Baltimore, the name change,
right,
formerly known as Greg White.
Right.
Was your mom mad at you when you changed your name?
No, I asked her.
Oh,
I
you
asked,
did?
Yeah, I asked her. Anyway.
And it was done after the Teen Wolf, the movie with Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
That's Styles. Who inspired it?
Absolutely. Styles Stilinski. He was it's my man. He was good people's. He's an entrepreneur. He didn't care what no one thought. Figured, hey, you know what? That's me, and I like Styles. Of course, I switched up the name because I'm chocolate, but that's not a hint or there.
That was the spelling?
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll have to bring you back again and go through kind of how you got where you are today. You know, a lot of people out there listening, you know, certainly stuck with it and it didn't go how you wanted it to, but you're here, you're making sacks, and you're a fun guy to be around. Baltimore this week. I know you haven't had a chance to watch film, but, you know, in a short period of time, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have seen them on TV. So they're a pretty physical team, and on Flacco, and they're playing some real good ball right now. So, I mean, we got our work cut out for us, but like any other week, this is the most important week.
And you have to go against Michael Orr.
It's a pretty good tackle, isn't it?
Did you see the movie, Blindside?
No, hold on.
You're lying.
I promise. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I wasn't really.
It's a pretty good story, too.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was a good movie. If you have a chance, you should see it.
You know what? I'll do one
just
better.
Just get a couple sacks on him and then see it.
I'll do one better and take your word for it.
It was pretty good. Well, good luck. First thing first, stop Ray Rice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop and then put some pressure on Falco and call it a day. Come on home with another big win. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You too.
I'd like to ask you about your plans, but I don't have any time left.
Next time.
Well, thanks for coming in. We'll be back. Remember, game moved to 4:15 in Baltimore. We'll be back next week at 6 o'clock on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.